Thanks for tuning in to your Day Off Podcast, hosted by your boys, Corey and Tony.
I think by the end of today, I might have another best friend.
They're committed to making you fall in love with the hair industry, one podcast at a time.
You're going to grab a lot of information.
Yeah, you're going to learn a lot.
Presented by Hairdistry.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is it.
Your Day Off Podcast will begin after a word from our sponsors.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Corey, of course, I'm sitting with my best friend Tony. What's up, Tony?
What's happening, brother?
Nothing, dude. Sooner than later, we were gonna we have Presley Poe friends again this year. I can't wait.
Right around the corner, brother. Right around the corner, man.
It's super, super exciting. And like, I don't even mean that in the weird like hairdresser. We're super excited to be here. It's pretty exciting.
Dude, just everybody that's going to be there, you know, whether, you know, you're an influencer or you're not an influencer, it's super intimate. The mingling, it's a dope event, dude.
It really is, you know, and we get caught up in so much of the details. Sometimes we kind of forget to even think about the show. You know, we're thinking about such like micro kind of things in the show that we kind of like. Anyways, I'm taking the moment right this second as we're talking and just kind of like, just thinking about the whole show coming together and how cool it is, how this is our third year doing it, how it's grown bigger, faster, and everything than we could ever imagine. We've got confirmation of not just the influencers that are going to be on stage, but we have a couple like, I'm trying to change the word of influence. I'm trying to use Gordon's thing. Gordon calls them people of influence. So we also have people of influence in the audience. So I'm pretty excited about seeing some of our friends there. And I think people that come to the event are going to be pretty excited about who will be there.
Yeah, my that's one of my favorite parts is that, you know, before, during, and after the show, I mean, you have opportunity to just hang out and have conversation with everybody there. Nobody's hiding. Nobody's running backstage. Everybody's there to enjoy the moment.
Yeah, exactly. To hang out. And if you're listening in, what Tony means by that is like our artists are just going to come hang out. You know, we're not going to go hide them in the backstage. You know, they'll be right there with you. So in the front stage, if there's a backstage, there must be a front stage, right? So they're literally going to hang out in the front stage, or you're going to be hanging out in the, I don't know. One or the other, right?
I'm confused now.
Yeah, me too. So am I. So our guest is Zach Goldberg. And actually, interesting enough, we met Zach through one of our sponsors for the show. He works with Ergo Styling Tools, and that's kind of how we met Zach. But Zach's been amazing to work with through this event and even prior to this event. I think we met last year actually, but I was chatting with him and he has a pretty interesting story. So I kind of wanted to get into what his story is and how he lives in our industry. What do you think, Tony? Yeah.
And if Zach's anything like Ergo, the company, he's going to be amazing because I can't speak highly enough of, or I mean, one, it's, you know, my favorite brushes, but two, just the people from Ergo represent the company the way the company is, and it's just a stellar company.
It sure is. Actually, go back a little bit. Our friend Sarah Mack is who introduced us to Ergo. I don't even know if she's with Ergo anymore, but she introduced us to the Ergo company and she introduced us to Robert Reed. And Robert was just such a great guy and so gracious. And we did a podcast with him. I guess it's been a couple of years now. I can't even remember anymore.
Yeah.
We did a podcast with him a couple of years ago. And like, he's always been, even to this day, you know, he's still available to us if we have any questions or if they're going to be at events or something. So anyways, Zach comes down that funnel. So should we get in?
Yeah, dude.
Mr. Zach Goldberg, welcome to your day off.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me so much. I'm
It's super excited to be here. Thank you guys for all your kind words. What an entry, honestly. So at this point, like, you guys know enough about me. I'm a great person, so we could probably cut it off here. But all thanks right. so much. You know, I appreciate you guys' kind words towards Ergo. And you're absolutely right. Everyone that works for Ergo is really, we really are Ergo. It's, you know, we call ourselves the Ergo family, and that's really what we are, is we're family. And Sarah Mack was such a delight. She doesn't work for Ergo anymore, but she has been such a delight to work with in the past, and such a great hairdresser herself as well. Very, very unique woman. So pleasure to have gotten to know her actually in my entry with Ergo. So that's really awesome.
You know, you called it the Ergo family, but you literally have family members that work for Ergo, right?
Yes, actually, I do share blood with our chief of marketing, Brock Goldberg. We have the same last name and everything. He's my second cousin, actually. Robert, our CEO, we call him Uncle Rob. So we don't share blood, but he's my uncle for sure. our community manager is actually Brock's brother-in-law as well.
Oh, so. Dude, you guys are like, you're in the same house. You guys spend Thanksgiving together.
Yeah, we definitely have, for sure. I've spent quite some time with Brock Goldberg, for sure.
That's awesome. Well, once again, Zach, just thank you for everything that you've done for us, as far as like the show goes, as far as like sending us the newest and freshest brushes so we can use them as well. And like Tony said, it's by far my favorite kind of brush that I use. It's the only brushes that I use, honestly, but people know that stuff. Zach, where are you from?
I'm from Bakersfield, California. So, you know, just a little north of Los Angeles for those that aren't familiar with it. Nice little country town, real casual, real calm. I enjoy it here.
Did you guys get like the snows and stuff?
So we got like, you know, some pretty major hail the other day, but we didn't really get any snow. It hasn't snowed here since I was like, I don't know, like 7 years old, maybe, or so, over 20 years for sure. I was actually in Fontana for NASCAR weekend this past weekend when it was like snowing everywhere. And it was like a full blizzard. And we went to the Starbucks and the girl was like, no, it hasn't snowed here in like 10 years. And I was like, oh, well, look at that. So, but it was pretty cool. I'm not exactly one familiar with the snow, that's for sure. Wow. I think it was maybe like the third time I'd ever been in falling snow in my entire life, actually.
What?
That's cool. Well, it snowed here. We're on the East Coast. And normally it does snow every year, but we haven't gotten any this year.
Did we get any last year, Tony? I think we had one small storm. That was it.
Yeah, so it's been a couple of years. Yeah. So Zach, how did you find the industry? How did you end up here?
You know, I'd like to say like the industry kind of found me in a way, but you know, right time, right place, I guess. Well, they tried to, Ergo actually tried to snatch me up when I was like 20 years old, but I was working for Starbucks at the time, and I was on my way to be a manager there. I just moved to San Diego. I just reconnected with Brock, actually, and he was one of our top educators here. Kind of doing a much different role than he does today in the company. What was that, 8 years ago now? So he tried to get me to come to ISSE. And I was like, you know what, that's a little far-fetched for me. I don't know what I'm trying to do. I've got like a good job, I'm stable. So that was when I, you know, was the first person to ever reject Robert Reed. I said, I'm good right now. And I actually had the pleasure of meeting Robert later on at Brock's wedding reception, I believe, actually. And so I actually in 2018 quit my job. I was working at a bank and I was like, you know what? I just sit underneath these fluorescent lights and this cubicle is the most mind-numbing thing in the entire world. I'm way too creative for this. It was nice being like, you know, professionally dressed, have my own extension, you know, but it just wasn't for me. So I was like, if I don't get the hell out of this job right now, I'm going to be here forever. So I just packed up my desk one Friday and left, and I went and got pizza actually. And I was like, I'm done with this. And then of course I needed a job. So I called up Brock and I was like, hey, you got to cut my hair. I'm looking for a job. So what should have been, you know, 45 minute haircut turned into like a 3 hour lecture from Brock saying, what did you do quitting your job without having to back up all of that kind of stuff? And I was like, you know what, you got to take risks once in a while. And ISSE was actually coming up. This was in November. So ISSE was coming up in January. So for those that aren't familiar, the International Salon and Spa Expo, biggest hair show on the West Coast. Unfortunately, not around anymore. It's turned into Premiere, but at the time, a really, really wonderful show. So I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'll go check it out with you guys. Like, I don't have anything. I don't really have an excuse to say no at this point. So I went to ISSE with them, and that was in 2019. And man, it just seemed like every hairdresser was living their best life. Everyone just seemed like rock stars, and like everyone was so happy to be there, and there was so much passion in the room. And you know, it felt like people really wanted to be where they were at. And I was like, wow, I'm not familiar with this. Everyone hated their lives at Starbucks and the bank. Everyone was just having a job. And I was like, this actually sounds like a career. Like, people were really, really enjoying this. So I did the show with them. I fell in love with the team at the time. It was a completely different team than we have now, but I fell in love with the team. Robert Reed and myself that was a full love quarrel that we had, and we just became best friends. And Robert said, we'd love to work with you, but you need to go get your license to do hair. And I was like, you know what? Fair enough. You know, we're working with brushes. Hold on,
slow down, Zach. So
please,
so
I'm sorry. I'll just keep going.
No. It's cool. So it's a requirement to work at Ergo that you're a hairstylist?
It's not, but what they envisioned for me was to be an educator, to be part of that. They, you know, people say I have a silver tongue. I can talk well, you know, I can hold a conversation. I also really enjoy sharing what I know with people, and immediately picking up the brushes, and they taught me everything about them. I was like, I can understand why these brushes really do make the difference. Not even knowing hair, they just felt good. They worked nice. Like, I saw how excited people were around them. Like, people that liked Ergo weren't just like, oh, I need a brush, like Ergo will do. It was like, oh no, we're here on a hunt for Ergo. We only see you at the trade shows. I'm coming and getting a full collection. We're stocking at the salon. These people seem mad over the brushes. So, you know, I'm good at selling stuff, but they really did sell themselves. You put an Ergo brush in someone's hand, and what we say is to hold Ergo is to love Ergo. As soon as you feel that grip, that balance, the weight of our brush, the extended barrel, you're literally like, okay, these are great. So I immediately was able to, you know, translate that with people and, you know, sell these brushes well, and, you know, really teach people why they made a difference to hairstylists that were like in the industry their entire career. And I was like, oh, this is my first day ever being here. So so it was really nice. And I think they saw that in me as well. And so Robert was like, if you want to do this, then, you know, they weren't going to bring me into the marketing side of things at first. They were going to bring me into trade shows, education, things like that. Of course, you know, 2020 hit, changed the world a little bit, but we'll get there. But so I actually enrolled in hair school, and I was going to go to a local hair school here in Bakersfield, California. Nothing too exhilarating, but I was like, hey, it's going to get the job done. Once again, what else am I doing in my life right now? I'm just driving for Uber and Lyft and working with Ergo now. And they took me to Chicago, ABS, America's Beauty Show in Chicago, just in April. So like 3 months later, and some lady walked up to me and we were just chatting, and I told her I was going to start in school in 2 weeks. And she basically called me like a nincompoop for like wanting to go to school. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, this is what, how else am I supposed to cut hair legally? Like, what's going on here? And then she told me all about an apprenticeship program. I was like, okay, I thought this was just for like welders and handymen and things like that. Like, I didn't know.
You had no idea that there was an apprenticeship program in the industry?
No, I mean, I didn't know much about the industry at all. I just knew, like, I was like, okay, I'm going to hair school. That's all I ever knew people did, was go to, you know, do your 13 months in cosmetology school and get out and have a debt and no idea where you want to work and what's going on. I was like, hey, I'm willing to go for the ride.
And she was from like Bakersfield, or she was from California?
So she was from North Hollywood. So I, which felt very grand at the time. I'm like, what? I'm from Bakersfield. You're from Los Angeles. We're both in Chicago. And she's explaining this all to me at the current moment. Weirdly enough, she's like, hey, my apprentice is pretty much done with the program. Come shadow her and be my apprentice after that. I was kind of like, again, feeling very, very grand about things. Like, this is, you want me to drive 2 hours south of my home to come check out your salon in North Hollywood and like do all of that. So I was kind of like, screw it. When do you want me to come check it out? And weirdly enough, she picked the same exact date that I was supposed to start hair school. Oh. It was April 17th. And so I had this decision to kind of make, like, do I want to go see her or go to hair school? And if I miss the first day of hair school, I'm dropped. There's no going back after that. And I already agreed to this date with her. So if I did that, if I said no to that, I felt like I was dropped there too. So I was really at that crossroads in my life where it was like, hey, you're going to pick one of these and you're never going to look back.
Did you already apply for your loans and everything for school?
I had already been fully set up. So I literally was going to start school in 16 days from when I met her. Wow. And I met her on April 1st as well. So I thought it was one big gag as well. I was like, this is a joke. I was like, I'm not like, is there some type of like, are you pulling strings right now? Like, what's going on? Because again, I didn't know anything about an apprenticeship program. I didn't know people could do that. Or I thought an apprenticeship program was post hair school, like an assistant program, you know, got your license. Now you go work in the salon. So I went and checked it out. And yeah, it was very, very, very cool. I was able to just kind of start hands-on with them like right away. You know, I wasn't like doing anything that like I needed a license for, but I was back there like mixing color with them, starting to understand everything like right away. And the amount of the sheer volume of clients she had, I was like, whoa, like you really making some coin out here too. Like you make right. money. This is crazy to me. Cause yeah. again, I was under the impression, you know, once you're done with hair school, like you either got to find someone you can work under for pennies on the dollar and they might not even be that busy or, you know, might not have enough time for you. Cause finding the busy hairstylist is, well, in my town, a little more difficult for sure. So getting there, I was like, man, you see a lot of clients. You see some high-end clients as well. Cause we were in North Hollywood. So some names came in. I was like, okay. Like the little Bakersfield boy was like, stay calm. Like, don't fangirl right now. You got to stay professional. Like I'm not used to meeting anyone that has any type of following or background or is on TV really in general at all. So I was like, hold the phone. We're going to just act as casual as we possibly can. And, you know, I really enjoyed her as well and her team and her salon. So I was like, let's make this work. So I applied for my apprenticeship license and I started all that. And I think just a few months later, I think like July, I was working with her as her full-time apprentice and assistant there. And just bumping out clients, having a really great time. I was actually living with Brock at the time. Wednesday through Saturday is when I worked with her. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I was driving from Santa Clarita to North Hollywood. And then when I'd get done on Saturday, I would drive straight back to Bakersfield. Sunday morning, I worked at a vegan restaurant because I'm also fully vegan. For those of you guys that don't know, no one on this podcast probably knows me at this point, but you two that don't know, I'm fully vegan. I've been fully vegan for 5 years. I've been fully vegetarian for 6. So that's been honestly one of my most proud things in my entire life is that I was able to do that every single day of my life for the last 6 years. Because other than breathe and drink water, I think I haven't done anything else consistently like that for 6 years of my life. but I was working at a vegan restaurant here in town. So I'd come back Saturday night, Sunday morning, I'd work the brunch shift. Monday, I would drive all the way to San Pedro and do my apprenticeship class every Monday. And then I'd come back to Bakersfield. Tuesday, I'd work at the restaurant. Wednesday, I'd get up and drive straight into the salon. So for about 8 months, I was working nonstop, 7 days a week.
Okay, I have a few questions before we move on. So. And I don't know this for fact, so correct me if I'm wrong, but California requires 2,000 school hours?
I think at the time it was 1,600.
Okay.
Yeah.
1,600.
I had to do like somewhat of like 3,000 or something like that inside the salon because the apprenticeship program went on longer than the actual like schooling did.
School. And then like you had to take apprenticeship classes?
So there's an apprenticeship program. The one I did was LACCAC, I think something like that. I'm forgetting the name. I guess it's been a while now. But yeah, I went down to San Pedro every other 3 Mondays a month, basically. And we did a class. So we'd go over like the book, basically going over all of the practical and work on the mannequin heads, teaching us all that kind of stuff. We'd have guest speakers come in, some of the other mentors of some of the kids that were in there. And we did that. Yeah.
A lot of like sanitation and stuff on the school. Sorry, Tone.
Yeah, pretty much all that school stuff that you would learn.
So did Robert said, you know what, I'm going to hold this job for you it as soon as you have your license. It's yours? Because, I mean, this is a long process, right? So it doesn't seem like you're with Ergo right now. So is it just a commitment? Or?
So with Ergo, at the time I was only really working trade shows. So we didn't really have like I wasn't working in the office or anything like that. So I started kind of, you know, learning the education through some of our educators. I was going to like Premier in Orlando, ABS, ISSE, things like that, some smaller trade shows that we did, more local things. And I would go and basically get mentored on our education, go to our classes. I'd help film them, things like that. And so I'd just be kind of like in the mix of all of it. And then
you were busy.
Yeah, I definitely was. When I look back at it, I'm like, wow, like you really did that. Sometimes I'm like, damn, Zach, you're so busy right now. And then I look back, and I'm like, you were working 7 days a week in three different cities, basically, for some time. And the stretch between Bakersfield to Santa Clarita, San Pedro, North Hollywood, all of that, we have to go over the Grapevine. I don't know. Are you guys familiar with the Grapevine?
No, no, not at all.
It's just basically this big mountainous range that separates the valley from the other valley. So basically LA County and then Kern County, where I'm from, it's separated by just a big mountain range. So it's probably about like a 30, 45 minute drive through the mountains that I have to go up and over. So sometimes I can't even get to Ergo, like when it's snowing. Like I had to cancel my office visit just last week because the Grapevine shut down. So I literally had to drive over some mountains four times a week just to get back and forth and do all of this. So it's really close, like Santa Clarita, like Ergo from me is only like an hour and 10 minutes. But that hour and 10 minutes is kind of a little bit of a wild ride. I'll say it's not like you're like, oh, hey, like North Hollywood to Santa Clarita would be like 20 minutes on a good day. But coming home on a Friday, it would take me like an hour and a half. So like two different hour and a half. It's like one, I'm like actually cruising the whole time and it takes me an hour and a half. The other one's like, I'm stopping and going and probably wanting to like hop out of my car and whoop someone in traffic right now.
Zach jacking people in traffic.
Absolutely. I mean, LA traffic. That's one of the things is like why I'm happy back in Bakersfield. I'm used to a town with big open roads and not a lot of traffic. And as soon as you get over the mountain, I'm like, where are all you people coming from? Like you all want to live here right now. What's going on? So I'm more of like a Los Angeles visitor than I am like my time living there for about 2 years was not my favorite.
People always
like, I want to live in Los Angeles. I want to go there. I'm like, that sounds all good and dandy, but it's just chaotic.
I get it. Relationship with New York. You know, people want to go like, I want to live in New York. I'm like, yeah, I'm like 48 hours and I'm done, you know. I'm ready.
Any place to visit.
Yeah, exactly.
A 5 mile drive takes 30 minutes or more. I'm like, this is absolutely insane. I can get straight across town in like 10 minutes here or less.
Right. So
I enjoy it. Also, right. My friends and family are here. I work from home currently. I have a studio here. So, you know, everything is really, really good there.
So you just kind of mentioned it. So once you got, I'm kind of wondering like what your relationship with was since you were already working for Ergo and also, you know, going through an apprenticeship program. It's like, it would have been pretty cool. I'd have been pretty intimidated if I had somebody like in hair school with me that already had a job in the industry, like a manufacturing job.
I try to stay very casual and humble about it because I still was just learning like everyone else. I didn't want to walk in there like some hot shot puffing my chest where I'm like, yeah, I've already got a job. I know how to blow my hair. And I will say my apprenticeship program even had me come in and teach a class. So that was one of those moments, like they would always announce it like that I was with Ergo and I'd be in the back like, can you guys just leave me out of it right now? And I was always very kind to everyone and everyone was very kind to me and we were all just there learning. But yeah, they had me come in and teach a class. And that was one of those moments where I was like, oh man, like, I guess I am doing something a little different than most might be expecting. And I had a really good mentor at the time, too. And there was one other kid, not even kid. We were all grown. I wasn't a kid. Right. But he was working for
a kid, though, Zach.
I was just thinking this morning before I got on this podcast with you guys.
How old Tony and I are?
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
No, definitely not. I was just kind of thinking about how grown I am, but I'm not grown. I was looking at all my stuff on the shelf, like I was telling you guys, hey, this is all just stuff that makes me. And I'm like, you just have a bunch of knickknacks and things. I'm looking around my room. I'm like, this feels borderline childish. But I'm like, the only thing that makes you an adult is paying your bills and taking care of yourself, right? Like, And oh, I guess having a kid maybe, but I don't have any expectations for that. So kids are not on my future there. But I was like, you know, as long as my bills are paid, I have a roof over my head, I'm taking care of the ones I love, I'll act as childish as I want for the rest of my life and I'll be a kid.
That's fun. You're 100%.
And that goes back to, you know, what the hair industry has to offer is freedom. Like I felt like I was becoming this stick in the mud person when I was working at the bank before this. And that wasn't me. I didn't want to be that.
Going through your apprenticeship program, were you falling in love with the industries? Like, you know, because so many times the industry does find us, you know, and then, you know, you're like, I'm amongst my people. For some reason, these are my people. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Or were you going through the apprenticeship program saying, I just need to get my license? I mean, what, as you were going through it, were you falling more in love with the industry, or was it you focus on something like at the end of that apprenticeship license?
I mean, it was a mixture of both. I mean, as you guys know, I was doing a lot of effort going back and forth and back and forth. So there kind of was that like, okay, we just need to get to the end of this. But at the same time, I was in no rush. There was nothing to really rush it. I had my position with Ergo. I was doing all the things that I would be doing with hair, having my license. I was already, you know, working behind the chair with my mentor. I was already traveling with Ergo. I was already doing all the things that were expected of me once I had my license, because it wasn't like I went to hair school and then went and got my assistant, you know, went and became an assistant.
Right.
So for me, I was already getting everything that I was almost guaranteed. I just had to continue to hold up, you know, my end of the bargain and, you know, keep my nose down or keep my head down, keep my nose to the grindstone, whatever they say.
Yeah, whatever.
Keep pushing.
Keep your head on the grindstone, I think is where we ended up.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because there's so much talk in the industry, certainly on socials and stuff about almost like a negative, like to like hustle culture. And I kind of understand that, but I also understand that you can't make big change in your life without the hustle. Right. Like you can't sit back and what change in your life. If you're sitting back, there's not change that's going to happen. You've got to go out there and grab the bull by its horns. You know, what are those called? What are those weird quips called? But anyways, you know, like you have to go out there and hustle. Like the one that I do believe that on some of the memes you see, the one that I do believe is that you can change your life in 6 months, but if you're waiting for it, it's not going to happen. I mean, you've got to go out there and want to change your life. And if you really, really hustle for 6 months, you can change your life. And like Tony and I are, you know, prime examples of that. You know, like we just had a podcast with Gordon Miller. And when we started our podcast and we were talking to him, he goes, "Who the hell are these guys?" You know, like that was literally his response. Like when we first met him
now we're besties.
Exactly. Now we're besties. Exactly. And to make it full circle, yeah, 6 months later, he certainly knew who we were and where we were headed.
I think it's one of those things I struggle with, because it always is this grind culture, grind, grind, grind. You have to, you know, be putting the work, and you really do need to be putting in the work, but you also have to learn when to step back, relax, and like kind of just give yourself grace, but also pat yourself on the back for everything that you accomplish. I think it's go, 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 go. And you almost start forgetting stuff because you're just focused on what's next, what's next. And, you know, setting those goals and getting after it and then saying, okay, I'm going to do this for 6 months, and then say, okay, when I'm done with this, what am I going to look like in 6 months? Am I going to feel accomplished? Am I going to relax a little bit? Is this sustainable? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the problem with the grind or the hustle culture, is that a lot of the time it doesn't feel sustainable, or they want you to like completely give up your life. All these people preach about.
Hold on, Zach. Nobody wants you to do that.
No, I'm sorry, but I'm talking about these people.
If you step on the treadmill, then you're making those choices. I mean, I do agree with you, and I think the full conversation is what you just said, and I think you said it brilliantly. Was that yes, we do have to do the hustle culture, but we also have to take the time to recognize that we've accomplished something. Because so many times we get on that treadmill, and then we're not taking the time. And I'm 1,000,000% guilty of this, and Tony will tell you that it's that. To take the time to go like, wow, we've really accomplished something. You know, like it's hard to kind of see it from that perspective, or to take the time to be like, okay, this is it. And I agree with that, but I think this, it's hard for me to, I don't want to use the word agree, because I don't think it's an agree or disagree thing. But it's hard for me to see that you can see that you can succeed at anything without putting in the work.
Oh yeah. Everything needs the work put in 100%. And I, going back to when I say like they, it goes back to what you're talking about, like people of influence and the internet and like what it really is today. And even with hairstylists, from hairstylists to, you know, athletes and people that just travel on the internet, do all these things that project you should be doing what they're doing almost, and holding everyone to these standards is kind of where people, I think, get lost in. And that's kind of what I mean by the they, is these people are telling you, these people of influence, like you're saying, are telling you this is how you need to do it. And I think we miss those moments of stepping back and saying, yeah, okay, I did do it. You know, you even hear of people that work out all the time still having, you know, body dysmorphia and saying, well, I'm not big enough, I'm not this. Well, like, how far did you come? You know, like, how small were you then? Or what weight were you? Where were you at? Like, give yourself some grace for what you accomplished, rather than saying, I need to be here. Like, well, how far did I actually come in this time period?
Because what happens, and if you don't give yourself grace, or if you don't look at it like, you know what, this is, look what I've accomplished, or look how far I've come, you miss it, right? You don't think about it until it's, you're at the end of it, and now you're looking back and, you know, wishing that you had enjoyed that ride a little bit more, because it could be fast, you know what I mean? So yes, you know, even though you're putting in the work and you're hustling, enjoy the process, enjoy the ride, you know what I mean? Taste it, feel it, breathe it. And you know, the ride will be that much more enjoyable whenever the end does approach.
100%. And that time period when I was saying I was working 7 days a week, that ride, man, I enjoyed the hell out of it. People thought I was crazy all the time. Like, you're working, you're all over the place, you're traveling, you're just doing the absolute most. And yeah, I was, but yeah, at that time period, like I said earlier, it just didn't feel like I really was doing that much. It felt like I was doing what needed to be done, for sure. And I was very happy with it. I enjoyed my time being an assistant. I'm like, this is the only time I'm going to be this person's assistant, be in the salon. This is the only time I'm going to be in school like this. The rest is, you know, all on me to continue my education and doing these things. And all these moments were the only moments I'll be doing that, because it's all going to continue to change. And which it really has with Ergo, you know, with the way 2020 reacted with everything, it ended up, you know, pushing me out of Los Angeles. And I'm sure it pushed a lot of people around. It was such a devastating time for our industry as well. But it gave me the ability to say, okay, well, what am I doing with myself, my life, and where I want to be with Ergo? And that's when I asked Ergo. I said, I want to get back to, you know, my root of things too, and go to marketing and, you know, work in the office with them, you know, cultivate our culture of Ergo and what it does for our industry, and transform our education that we were doing as well. And they brought me in. And now I've been in their office for 2 years. I've been with Ergo for 4. And it's just been the most enjoyable time of my life. I feel like I have a career. I feel like I have a place. And I feel like I do something for our industry, providing tools that really do help your body, help your finish, and help someone feel confident behind the chair.
I think the one word missing that you didn't say was purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. I have 100% found purpose in my life. And, you know, I think I lacked saying purple that purpose. I think people think purpose is like a singular thing, and that like my purpose is, okay, to be here with Ergo, to do this. But I have so many different purposes that I try to, you know, step back and realize, whether it be family, friends, you know, myself, Ergo, wherever I am, there's just so many different purposes as to why you're there, whether I'm trying to better my family, break generational trauma. I saw your hat, actually, it says stronger than my trauma. And I really, really enjoy that. You know, my family is not the most put together. So at the same time, I'm the baby that's trying to figure out my own life while also trying to help everyone else heal and build these foundations. I'm trying to learn how to be a better friend and just a better person in general. I've never been a bad person, but it's always about how much more can I listen? How much more can I be there for people? And those are all things that carry over to the chair as well. When I'm working behind the chair, working with clients, when I'm in the salons, working with experienced veteran hairstylists and also people that are fresh out of school, you know, talking to them and just helping everyone just feel confident and feel like they have a purpose, and sharing just my light and listening to them and being there for them. And, you know, being behind the chair, you're basically a therapist, as most people say. So learning how to work through my own things while helping others and just being there for people, I think that's my purpose. And when you show up for people and you show up for yourself, then things like my fortune of being with Ergo, having something set up right out of school, having something, you know, pick me up. It seems as though it's in my head. No one's ever said this to me, but it's kind of one of those things like, Brock is my cousin, but I didn't get any of this handed to me. I was given an opportunity and I showed up for it. I could have been way different on those first days and never gotten offered the things I did. I wasn't like, oh, hey, come with us to Chicago. It was, okay, you need to go enroll in hair school to come to Chicago. And I showed up and did that. A better opportunity was presented for me there. So it's just like, when you're on that path, those doors open naturally for you and you kind of show up for them. It's like the doors open, but you need to walk through. And I feel like I've really learned how to show up for myself, show up for my people, show up for the business, the industry, and however best I can. I would say I'm still learning the industry for sure. I mean, I've only been out for 4 years and it's ever evolving. And well, I just want to make sure I can give it to him.
I think the word that you use, and this will probably end up being the title of the podcast, but it is to show up, because you're absolutely right. Like Brock gave you an opportunity to meet people. He didn't give you an opportunity for a job. He didn't give you an opportunity to, you know, the only time that nepotism is gross is when someone doesn't deserve to be there. But if you put in the work, you show up and you stand on your own feet and not somebody else's feet, then that's not nepotism. That's just taking advantage or showing up for the opportunity, right? So yeah, that opportunity, you took advantage of it. That's nothing to be looked down on at all. You know, again, the only time I ever find it gross is when, you know, someone's being ugly or standing in someone else's shoes because they're in someone else's shoes. You know, I think it comes down to work ethic, and it comes down to showing up, you know, for them and for yourself, you know. Bravo. I applaud you, man. That's really cool.
Thank you. You know, it's actually, you guys maybe have seen it. It's the bio of my Instagram, but my mom always said it when I was younger, and she still says today, is closed mouths don't get fed. And, you know, you have to ask for things. Nothing's just going to get handed to you. You have to show up for those things and make sure that you are getting fed, make sure that you're feeding yourself, whether that be actual food or opportunity, whether it be love or just encouragement, desires, going after and feeding yourself whatever you're hungry for.
Tony, what's your favorite Crystal quote?
Yeah, we say it a million times. You know, if you don't ask, the answer is no, right? It's no from the beginning. So mm-hmm. You have nothing to lose. So when you go ask, and if you get a no, it's already a no, right? But you might be surprised, and, you know, you might get a yes, or you might get somebody to say, you know what, I know somebody, or I can help you in this way.
Tony, it's not even might, like chances are that they're going to, if it's not a yes right now, it's a yes later. And to your point too, is that if they know that you're looking for something, most people will respond with that in one way, you know, to try to help you out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I get that all the time from my friends. Like, how do you get so much out of people? And it's not like I'm like taking advantage of things or getting special treatment. It's just that when I'm out places, I ask for different things, like as simple as like, hey, can you get me a deal on this? And they're like, actually, you know what? I can hook you up with something. And the person that's not going to ask for something that's very simple is not going to get it. Or just even, I think, going back to listening to people and participating in people's lives when you're out in public, if someone's got a name tag on, address them by their name, you know, just speak to people as if they're human and you're going to get a lot more out of life. But I really live by the motto, closed mouths don't get fed. If you need something, ask for it. If you want something, ask for it. And the worst case scenario is that you're going to get the no that was already there if you didn't ask.
Yeah, Presley Poe, friends, is the prime example with Ergo. We ask, hey, would you guys be interested in a sponsorship? If we didn't ask, you guys wouldn't be involved in Presley Poe and Friends. And we really appreciate everything you guys are doing for us, but again, it came down to asking.
Yeah, we couldn't be happier to be a very proud sponsor of Presley Poe and Friends. Presley Poe is unique, an incredible person, so very, very kind. And I've had the privilege of meeting A-Rod and Sam Villa. Sam is a huge lover of Ergo and Robert Reed. They've been in this industry together for so long. I've never gotten to meet Rebecca Taylor, but I've seen her work. And the second I get to meet her, it's going to be a privilege for sure. But it's such a beautiful—
You have to drive 2 hours south to go visit her, though.
I'll do it. but it's such a unique event. And I was just talking to the guys at Ergo, saying how much we need to lean into events like this, because trade shows are changing. They're not quite what they used to be. And I think more tailored, curated events like this are the future, because they're just like a little easier to gather everyone in that way, a little easier to manage. And you can honestly do them just as frequently, but kind of get a little bit more out of things. You know, you're going to show up to Presley Poe and Friends and you're going to get education. You're going to get what you paid for, you know? And I think building these environments where they are more intimate is a huge necessity, especially, you know, in our industry, everything is snippets on the internet if you're not there in person. And it's like, well, how the hell are they doing that? How do they make this happen? And you know, you want to find that time to be able to connect with them and learn from these top educators outside of a huge classroom like at ISSE, where you're never really going to get to speak to this person. They're going to go backstage, whereas at Presley Poe and Friends, everyone's backstage. It is a backstage event. So I was kind of thinking about that when you guys said, what do you call the front stage? Like, I think it's just everyone's backstage. Like, everyone there is a VIP, having the time. So,
and that's very much it. And by the way, Tony, Zach is when we talked last year, and I went to introduce him to Presley, he was pretty tickled to meet Presley. Stop lying, Zach. You know it's true.
No, I know 100%. 100%. I was very excited to meet Presley. Like I said, Presley is so unique.
Yeah.
And I've seen the work that they've done on Instagram, and I was just like, I've got to meet this person.
Have you guys met yet in person?
Oh, Presley. Yeah. We definitely met in person. Well, you, I think, introduced us in person at ABS, correct?
Oh, yeah. That went down.
So met Presley. Presley fell in love with our brushes right away. I remember walking up when she was working on the main stage and she's projected on the wall. And I was like, that's an Ergo brush in Presley's hand right now. And she's doing a color melt with it. I was just like, yes, like I couldn't have been more excited. I was trying to rush to get my phone out. I missed it on the big screen. Still to this day, one of the moments that pissed me off most is that I wasn't able to get that footage right there. But Presley was the most unique person I had met at that time, of just so, and I don't even say just the way Presley looks, because Presley has a very unique aesthetic. The lovingness that comes out of Presley, it seems so genuine. Like when she speaks to you, it's as though Presley wants to know you and wants to, you know, be involved with that and is listening. Whereas some people are just like in it for the dollars and cents.
Well, I'm going to, you know,
like, how can I educate you?
I'm going to bring this back to Presley Poe and Friends, because like when we bring in artists, that's a key component to it. Right. The key component is that, is this the type of person that really wants to get to know you, that really wants to be there for you? For you as the stylist, as the person that works behind the chair, do they want to be there for you, or are they looking for the payday? And when we curate our artists, that's top of mind, I should say, you know. And there's no better example than the Godfather himself, Sam Villa. You know, like Sam lives that, and like Sam is like, Sam does the cutest little thing, and like he'll hug you, and like, and if you think about it, you don't know this, Zach, but I'm about to blow your mind. Whenever you hug somebody, it's always left to left. Sam makes you hug right to right, and then he'll whisper in your ear. He'll go, heart to heart, brother, heart to heart. And it's the coolest kind of thing.
Hey.
Ah.
I'm like thinking back when I've hugged Sam in my life of like how we've hugged now. So I'm like trying to picture back, but now I'm like also thinking about the irregularness of lifting up the other direction. Yeah. I'm going to have to, in case he doesn't listen to this, I'm going to have to do it to him next time I see him.
So whisper in his ear, heart to heart.
Yes. Whisper heart to heart in his ear. Hopefully I'll get to see him. He might be at premiere at Anaheim, so hopefully I'll get to see him there.
I think he's definitely going to be there, and if not, he'll definitely be at ABS. He already asked me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll get the fortuneness to see him twice next month then. So that'll be really great. And as soon as you were saying people that love to educate and share their knowledge, the bells were ringing in my head like Sam, 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 because I feel as though his hands would fall off if he didn't teach something that day. Like he wouldn't know what to do with himself if he didn't share some type of education or knowledge or just insight every time you speak to him.
Sam's his heart and his soul is as big as his skill set. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people just do good work or great work, phenomenal work, and that's what they do. But his person, his heart matches his work, because I mean, it's just his heart is just as large as his skills.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
awesome. So what do you guys have? What's Ergo up to? What are you guys doing? I know that before we went on, are we allowed to talk about it?
I've got no cue not to. So let's run it.
Okay. So you guys are introducing some. First off, last year you guys introduced the Gentle Brushes. They are game changing brushes. I am famous for burning brushes up. I have purposefully tried to burn up your paddle brushes because I've burned up every single paddle brush I've ever used in my entire life. And a year later, it looks like it's right out of the box. I cannot burn it up. And it has like the finest little the little bristles that I've ever seen. And coming in April, you have a full size brush coming.
Yes, absolutely. So and we're shooting for May. That's, you know, not defined yet to see if everything, you know, goes as planned. You never know with the irregular. But May is the expectation for the ERG 1000, the full-size version of our super gentle paddle brush. So we're moving the super gentle paddle brush, you know, now the ERG 750 to be the mini. So it's going to be the mini super gentle paddle brush. And then we're going to have the full-size, which is going to be the large. So just about the same sizes as our 500 and our 1000, our classic collection, we're going to have the full size version, which a lot of people, you know, no one really complains about the brush. And you start to talk to people. And once I tell them like, oh, we're coming out with full size, they're like, oh, well, actually, my only complaint is that it was so small. I'm like, okay, well, I'm glad it wasn't small enough to like where it drew you out to where you're complaining about it full front. But now that we're approaching you with a better option or bigger option, sorry, now you're expressing that. So we get nothing but, you know, good graces with our ERG 750. I think we just celebrated the 1 year birthday this month. We released it March 1st of last year for that brush. And it's been revolutionary for us. People can't get enough of it. Every time I use it on someone's head, they're like, what is this brush right now? Like you said, it's pretty challenging to melt. Ironically, we get more people that manage to melt our classic brushes than our super gentle brushes. But I think it's because when you're working with such heavy loads of thick hair, mm-hmm. the moisture content, the heat you're using, all those kind of things, people sometimes get a little ahead of themselves with the heat on situations like that. And with the gentle brushes, I think the gentle cues them in their head, like, I'm actually going to be, you know, gentle with this. But we have people such as yourself that beat it to hell and it's still holding in really, really strong. So, you know,
I legitimately tried to burn it up. Like I like purposefully like, let's see if I can smoke this thing. And I can't after I used it for, I don't know, like 3 or 4 months. And like, there was no, like none of the bristles started to get weird or anything. And then I feel terrible saying this to you, Zach, but then I got aggressive and I was like, well, now I'm in the place where like, I want to see if I can burn it up. You know what I mean? Kind of like,
absolutely.
You know, like Mythbusters. You remember Mythbusters?
Yes.
Like myth and they go like, well, it didn't work according to the myth, but what can we do to blow it up? I have yet to do it. You know, I mean, clearly I'm not smoking people's hair. Let me be clear as my clients are cringing right now. But
we're gonna see you on a podcast with a lighter trying to burn it to see if the myth exists.
Yeah, and then once again, wants to bring Presley Poe full circle. So you know, if you go to Presley Poe, you're also going to get to see and to handle and to get a couple of the Ergo Gentle brushes.
That guy, for those of you that will actually be able to see it, I've got the super gentle paddle brush right here, the fan favorite of both Hairdistry and Presley Poe. So everyone that goes, of course.
Well, if you're listening in, what's really cool about the brush is each what would you call it? Each brush is a different length, which automatically makes it detangling. It makes
what you're talking about
pins.
Here.
Yeah.
So we have two tiers of pins. We have a lower tier and upper tier. And really, it gets deep penetration of the scalp with the top tier and then surface level detangling. So it really is the ultimate detangler. You know, when you're using it vertically, as you can see here, you can go right down those rows. So you can detangle like a breeze. And it just, man, when it comes to extensions, sensitive scalps, detangling, it just goes over the bonds with ease. It goes across the scalp with ease. And it just detangles without feeling as though any hairs are breaking or stretching or getting damaged, whether you're wet or dry.
It's amazing. I just can't, I can't explain how happy we are with the brushes, honestly. And it's the best detangling brush I've ever used by far. Even like, I don't even feel the need to have to oversaturate it with product, you know, to be honest, like a detangling product. It just works so well. All right, Zach, dude, thank you so much. Thanks for the great relationship that we've had the last year with you and with Ergo. We just really appreciate it. And Mr. Zach Goldberg, thank you very, very much for joining us on your day off.
Thank you, guys. It was such a pleasure. You guys are such a delight. I look forward to seeing the success of Presley Poe and Friends. And thank you guys so much for having me today. We'll talk soon, I'm sure.
For sure.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, share it with friends, give us a rating, and drop a review. To listen to all the latest podcasts, please subscribe from your favorite podcast outlet. And to stay connected on and off the show, you can follow us at Hairdistry on Instagram and all other social media platforms. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. Peace and love.